I want to continue on now this morning with I'm stuck, but I want to be free. And really what I'm talking to you about is the message of the cross. I don't know if you're like I am, but for years when I would read in the Psalms, I would just be kind of baffled and amazed at the way David talked about people to God. And I never really told God this. I was having a conversation with myself, basically. But for years, I just remember thinking to myself, when David would say, poke out their eyes, cut off their arms, I'm sick of them, destroy them. And I remember reading that and just not relating to it at all. And I would think, gee, I don't talk about people like that. And one day the Lord said, oh, yes, you do. You just don't talk to me about it. It was one of those holy moments, you know. And so from that moment on, everything else I'm going to tell you was birthed. It's just the most amazing thing how God comes in. Now, excuse me. I've been asking the Lord, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says that we're to pray without ceasing. I don't know about you, but that just really just draws me. I mean, that's something I want to do. It's one of those things I want to do, but I don't do. And I didn't know how to do it. And I just remember for years pleading with God, how can I pray without ceasing? I mean, do I have lists? Do I carry it with me everywhere? That just gets burdensome. And I thought it just can't be that difficult. Then I remember reading in Isaiah and then also in the New Testament where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he lives to intercede. So years ago, I learned how to read relationally and pray through Scripture. And so I started praying, Lord, I want to live to intercede. I don't know how. I thank you that I can't do anything apart from you. So I'm asking you, I want to learn to pray without ceasing and I want to live to intercede. Well, it was so big that I just had to leave it at his feet because I really didn't know how to do it. Well, everything I'm going to tell you today is the answer to how you do that. Now, you're going to be listening to me and going, what does that have to do with that? But when I get done, you're going to totally understand. So when God showed me that yes, I am also like David, that I do think those things, I just don't talk to God about them because you're not supposed to talk to God that way, right? Wrong. That's not what my Bible says. Psalm 51:6 says this, very important verse, God desires truth in the innermost being. That's pretty deep. He desires truth. Hey, after all, ladies, he already knows. He already knows what you're thinking, doesn't he? And so this was my prayer when God showed me that I was definitely having these thoughts. I was having conversations with myself. I said, well, Lord, would you please show me when I was having conversations with myself? Now, I want to tell you something, ladies. Don't ask him that if you don't want him to show you. Because it is the most amazing thing. I cannot believe how many feeding frenzies I have with my flesh or the old sinful nature or the old man, whatever you want to call the sinful nature. Those are the synonymous names. And I don't know if you're like me either, but do you ever rehearse conversations with other people in your mind? Does anybody ever do that? Wow. You know, the scriptures say in Isaiah 1:18, come let us reason. Come let us argue this out. Psalm 27:8 says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. It says, come and talk with him. Not talk with the old sinful nature, not talk with me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. You all know Matthew 11:28 through 30. It says, come unto me. Just you notice the word come, come, come. Come unto me. This is a relationship. You had a relationship with your old sinful nature, the old man, for years and years and years. And I want you to talk to me about everything. I don't want you to have feeding frenzies. I want you to come in fellowship with the Father. Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I wasn't sure how I was going to do this. Because I've been having conversations with myself for so long and rehearsing conversations with other people. And I've been a Christian 29 years, so I've been gathering a lot of bad habits. And I find that that it's pretty common. Thank you very much. I'm going to have a sip, excuse me. It's an answer to my prayer, too. You make me cry as well. Because it's actually changed my life, and it's going to change your life, and I'll tell you why, because it's the message of the cross. And if you'll hang on, you're going to see where I'm going here. I mean, I have everybody's attention. God has everybody's attention. God has my attention, because we all have conversations with ourselves, and we talk to ourselves. We rehearse conversations instead of talking to Him. Now, it's not that when I'm saying this it doesn't make sense. It's just that I'm kind of exposing what goes on, and I didn't really know how to get out of it. Like, how do you get rid of all bitterness, anger, and wrath? Do you ever wonder that? I mean, I read it. It sounds good. But how do you get rid of all bitterness, anger, and wrath? I mean, how do you do that? Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Well, anyway, so the Lord answered my prayer. He started to show me when I was having conversations with myself. Well, then I knew that I was to do what David did. But I found that it was very difficult. And I was like, Lord, how do I turn away from having this feeding frenzy? You know, have you ever seen a nature program where the piranhas are, you know? Well, that's what I was like. I mean, try to get a piranha away from a feeding frenzy. Forget it, right? And can you imagine, you know, when you're emotional and you're just mad. Maybe it's righteous anger. Maybe it's fleshly anger. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's there, isn't it? Well, how in the world do you get out of it? Well, I knew the principle was I wasn't supposed to have a conversation with myself. He desires truth in the innermost being. Hebrews 4:16 says he's approachable, right? It's like we have this high priest who's never sinned, but he can sympathize with our weaknesses because he's been tempted in everything we've been tempted in. Verse 16 says, now, therefore, then, we can come confidently, boldly before the throne of grace that we might receive grace and mercy to help in our time of need. Ladies, it's not a throne of grace if you're sitting there going, oh, my gosh, it's you again. Are you ever going to get it? Now, you know what? Would that be God's voice you're hearing? No. Would that be the voice of the new man? No. I wonder what that is. I would say that's the voice of the old sinful nature, and that's the voice of those little messengers of Satan. Okay? Which, by the way, let's just put this out here right now. Lamentations 3:37 says, can anything happen without God's permission? What do you guys think? No. Satan, your sinful nature, the little foxes, they are all on God's holy leash. Are y'all with me? They're a pawn in God's hand. 1 John 4:4, greater is Jesus Christ in you than Satan is in the world. Greater is Jesus Christ in you than your sinful nature is. And we're going to talk about Romans 6 in a minute about this. So here I am. I'm trying to, like, turn away from my feeding frenzy. I'm like the piranha and talk to God about how I'm feeling. And I don't seem to be able to do it. And I said, Lord, can you help me? Help me. I just get it, but I don't know how to get there. Well, you know, he's just waiting for you to ask. And it just so happened it's right where I'm reading through the Bible. You don't have to go hunting and pecking. You just mind your own business. You just read through the Bible. And there, ta-da, key verse. As a matter of fact, you have it on one of your bookmarks. If I could beg you to do anything, it would be to memorize this verse. And this is what it says. So, dear brothers and sisters. Notice it didn't say just sisters because we're the more emotional ones. Because in my Bible, the emotional examples, David, Jeremiah, who are they? Are they women? No, they're men. They're men. There aren't as many examples of women being emotional as there are of men. The point is we're all emotional because God gave us feelings, didn't he? Jesus had feelings. And so I was reading in Romans 8, 12 through 14. So, dear brothers and sisters, are you ready for this? You have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. What does that mean? Count on it. Your sinful nature is going to be urging you to do things. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. And do you know what it feels like to feel like you're perishing on any given day? I certainly do. Here is the key. And there's an if there, so it's a condition. It says, but if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it. I love how he refers to the sinful nature as it. That's just about what it is, it. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Okay? So, you know, here I am, I'm angry about something, and I'm having a conversation with the person, and I'm just like, well, you this and that, because if somebody criticizes you, what do you do in your mind? Criticize them back. Well, would that be the new man or the old man doing that? Old man. Okay. So I began to ask the Lord, as I said, Lord, please show me when I'm having these conversations with myself. Now, I have to tell you, early on, I began to realize God was answering my prayer to pray without ceasing. Because can you imagine, instead of having conversations with yourself all the time, and you know how we do that 24/7, you're talking to Him. Are y'all with me? It's an amazing thing. And listen, you can't do this on your own. He just needs a want to. That's all He needs is a want to. And yes, you're going to go through the boot camp of learning. Because that's just the way it is. But it's you're learning with Him. You know, you're going to find out that you can't do this in your own strength. You can't take what I'm saying and do it. And that's what I had to learn, because I realized that here I'm having all these conversations with myself. And I said to the Lord one day, I was brushing my teeth. I remember that moment. You know, you have those moments when you remember the Lord speaks to you. And I said, God, I am so exhausted. I'm having all these conversations with myself. And then I'm learning, okay, through the power, Lord, would you please empower me? This is the prayer, ladies. Please empower me, like it says in Romans 8, 12 through 14. Please empower me through the power of your spirit to turn away from that feeding frenzy and come and tell you how I'm feeling, okay? You understand what I'm saying? And so I said to the Lord, God, I am so exhausted. I'm having a conversation with myself. And then I'm in the boot camp here. I'm learning. And now then I have to, you know, ask you, Lord, would you please empower me to turn away? Because I learned the hard way. I couldn't turn away on my own just because I knew that's what I was supposed to do. Plus, when I ask God to help me turn away, what does it do? Connects me with Him, doesn't it? You know, Hebrews 12:2, fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-2, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And so that's what you want to do, fix your eyes on Jesus. And so then I would turn and tell God what I was just talking about with my old sinful nature. And I said to the Lord, God, I am exhausted. You know, I'm having a conversation with myself, and then through the power of your spirit, I'm turning and having that same conversation with you. I'm so exhausted. You know what the Lord said to me? Well, you could just tell me first, you know. I was like, I started laughing while I was brushing my... I said, God, you are so funny. That is, you're right. Thank you for that. So then I started praying, and this was awesome. Lord, would you show me when it's any other voice I'm hearing but yours? That became my prayer. Write that down, ladies. And it kind of has to go in this order, because first of all, does anybody in here not have conversations with themselves? Okay, well, we are better together. And so once He shows you, and like I said, don't ask Him this if you don't want Him to show you, because you'll be blown away, that you have conversations with yourself. And He doesn't want us to converse with the old sinful nature anymore. He wants us to converse with Him, the new man, conversing with Him. Now, Romans 8, 5 through 8 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And I'm going to repeat this verse several times today. So if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. The sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature if you have the Holy Spirit living within you. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Ladies, you're hosting royalty. Are y'all with me? You're hosting royalty. So let me go back to some of the doctrine and theology that everybody here knows, but I'm not so sure that we all know exactly how to walk in it. Like, how do you get rid of all bitterness, anger, and wrath? How do you do that? Just suck it up and go on? Well, then you get infected, and then you're doing baggage maintenance playing Christian. I've done it. Have you done it? He wants us to do temple maintenance, and so I'm going to teach you how to do temple maintenance, because where does Jesus live now? Where does the Holy Spirit live? Right here. We're His temple. Okay, these are important verses because I want to lay the groundwork here. I have your attention now because we're all sisters holding hands in this, that we all agree that we have conversations with ourselves, we rehearse conversations. And didn't we hang out with that old sinful nature long enough? And we've been given the mind of Christ, but we have this free will, which sometimes I wish I didn't. How about you? And I can choose. I can choose. I make a choice. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old things have gone. Behold, new things have come." Now, you can just read that verse and keep on going. But let me just say, let's just talk about it a minute. Don't just read the scriptures. Talk to him while you're reading them. All right? So my question is, okay, God, what are the old things that have gone? Because I feel like I'm still struggling with things that I did before I was a Christian. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? Well, let's talk about why. What's going on there? Okay, what are the old things that have gone? Later on today, we're going to be looking, you have a handout on Romans 6, 7, and 8, and Galatians 5, and we're going to be reading that later. But for right now, just hang in there with me. In Romans 6, the scriptures make it very clear to us the old things that are gone are this. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, we know that blood cleanses. We know in our physical body that blood cleanses, right? All the nurses in here know that. I'm not a nurse, but I've learned that from nurses, doctors. And so in our physical body, blood cleanses. Well, spiritually speaking, why do we have to be made clean? Because nobody can come to God the Father except through Jesus the Son. Why is that? Because God is holy and I'm not. I know that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I can't, if there was something I could do to make myself clean, did Jesus need to come here? No. Well, we all know that we're very thankful that Jesus came here. We're thankful that only his pure, untainted blood was able to wash me clean. Now, the old things have gone. What does that mean? Let me ask you something. Does God do anything halfway? Are you sure? No, he doesn't. He's God. Whatever he says, he does, and whatever he speaks, he makes good. Numbers 23:19, he's not a man that he should lie. Whatever he says, he does, and whatever he speaks, he makes good. And so he washed us and he cleansed us with his blood. What does that mean? He took the past away, ladies. Are y'all with me? I'm telling you your position. And I hope before you leave here today, you're sitting up so straight in your chair as a daughter of the King. And you take your position. Because he washed away all your sin, all the past, completely. I have a lot of garbage in my past. Boy, we could really have a session here, all of us sharing our testimonies, couldn't we? Jesus has our attention because he saved us out of all that mess, okay? And so what did he do after he washed me and cleansed me? I said, Jesus, I want you. I need you. Thank you for taking my punishment in my place. Please come in my life. Change me. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm helpless without you. He took me up on it. I'm just waiting for you to ask, he said. So here he comes. And he doesn't do anything halfway. And so he washed me and he cleansed me. And many places, Ephesians and Corinthians, and I have these verses written down for you in some of your handouts. But then he sealed us. He put his seal on us like, you're mine. You are mine. You are mine. Do y'all like that? You are mine. You belong to me. You are mine. You're a royal priesthood. You've just changed your status. You're a royal priesthood. You're my ambassadors. You're my representatives. Are y'all with me? You're daughters of the King. That's what I did. And I sealed you like I put my seal on you and I sealed you. Picture a pillow. You know how a pillow is stitched all around? That's what he did to you. He sealed you. If you had any spirits of anything, which probably most of us did, I could go on and on for an hour. That'd be a whole other talk. I didn't look like I did to most people, but the behavior in my life was quite evident. And anything that's in there had to go. You know why? Because Jesus moved in. Are y'all with me? He moved in, and he took up residence. You see, you were going with your sinful nature. You broke up with your sinful nature. Now you're going with God. He's your main squeeze. Okay? He's your main squeeze. Romans 6 says, he broke the power that the sinful nature has over you. What I'm going to say is really important here. He broke the power that the sinful nature has over you. I like John Corson says it this way, that the old sinful nature is paralyzed from the neck down. Do y'all get that? Because what's above the neck? The mouth and the brain. Okay? So he broke the power the old sinful nature had over you. The old sinful nature is basically paralyzed from the neck down, but the old sinful nature is not annihilated. How do we know the old sinful nature is still there? Well, there's so many scriptures that tell us that. So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. What does that mean? It means your sinful nature, you're being warned. Your sinful nature is going to be urging you to do things. But I'm asking you to understand your position and change your loyalty. See, you're going with your sinful nature for many years. And then you become a Christian, and positionally, the sinful nature has been kicked out. In other words, the power the sinful nature had over you has been broken. And Romans 6 tells us that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I find that most people don't understand this. I'm telling you, I didn't understand it in its fullness. I knew all the doctrine, I knew the theology, but the how-to, doing the best I could. I was living in Romans 7, you know, when Paul says, well, I do the things I don't want to do, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm just, what's this? It's a sin in me doing it, and I'm just a victim. I am such a victim. And he just is like thinking out loud. He's just talking. Well, I used to think that's just the way it was, I guess, until you get to the end of the chapter, and then he says what? But thanks be to God. Who will deliver me from this craziness? It's Jesus Christ. So most of us, we read Romans 7 and we go, yeah, I'm just like Paul. Oh, it's just going to be a battle till the end. I didn't say it wasn't going to be a battle, but it's a different battle when you know your position and how you walk in your position. Okay, are y'all with me now? Are y'all following me here? Okay, so you've broken up with the sinful nature. Now you're going with God. Now I want to tell you something. That sinful nature is ticked off. The sinful nature does not like to be broken up with, and that sinful nature stalks you. You know what I'm talking about? All right. Ladies, listen to what I'm saying. Get feisty. You have no obligation whatsoever because of the blood of Christ and your position in Christ. If you really are born again, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Get feisty, ladies. Well, I don't know about you, but I asked God this question. Okay, God, I got to know something. Why did you leave the sinful nature there? I know you took the power away. I get that part. But why did you leave the sinful nature there? Well, he knows what scripture you know, right? And he said to me, Deuteronomy 8. Well, I know what Deuteronomy 8 says. To test you, to see what's in your heart. So I'm conversing with God here. Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let us argue your case. So I wasn't arguing, but I wanted to know. He loves when we ask him questions. It's like, oh, she's listening. Oh, you know, Psalm 25:2 says, it's God's privilege to conceal a matter. It's our privilege to seek it out. When somebody probes lovingly and asks you a question, what does that communicate to you? Value. She cares. She listens. She's interested. You know, don't you think God's going, hello, y'all are talking all about me, but nobody's talking to me, right? He wants us to talk to him all the time. We call it prayer. Do you think when David was dumping his heart out to God and telling him to go slay that person and poke their eyes out and they're like a stillborn child, do you think that he was praying? Is that called prayer? Ladies, is that prayer? Why is it prayer? Because it's talking to God. It's talking to God. So your position is you have no obligation to that old sinful nature. Ladies, let me tell you something. You are not a victim anymore. That's a non-Christian. Non-Christians are victims. You're a victor. You don't have to work for the victory. You work from the victory. You don't have to work for something you already have. But let me tell you something. You do have to work at maintaining it. Now, what do you mean by that? If somebody gives you a brand new car filled up with gas, it's a gift. Just like we're made the new creature in Christ, we're washed, we're cleansed, we're sealed, and we're filled up with the gas of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And so this beautiful car is sitting in your driveway, filled up with gas, but you never maintain it. You know, the tires are going to rot. I don't know what happens in cars when you don't maintain it, but you kind of get my drift. I'm not a mechanic, but you must maintain what you have. Do you follow this example? You understand what I'm saying? So the gift you have is the Holy Spirit in you. So you're not a victim, ladies. You're a victor. Who wants you to be a victim? Tell me. Satan and your old sinful nature. Satan can only be in one place at one time. Is that correct? All right. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, quick. Catch that word. Quick. Catch all the little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of our love, for all the grapevines are in blossom. So when you are in this relationship with the Lord, God will, like he told me in Deuteronomy 8, he will come and test you. And I ask him this question, Lord, okay, why did you leave the sinful nature there? I know you took the power away. I understand that. But why did you leave the sinful nature there? He said, to test you to see what's in your heart. And I said, but Lord, you already know what's in my heart. And he said, yes, I know that I know what's in your heart. But you see, I want you to see what I see, because that's what keeps you running back to me. Are y'all with me? Y'all with me on this? And I was like, oh, okay. You see, God always blesses obedience. And I'm either going to obey his voice, or I'm going to obey the voice of the sinful nature, or those little foxes. See, there's messengers of Satan. Paul had a messenger of Satan to buffet him, didn't he? Did God allow that to happen? Yes, he did. How about in, you know, we've talked this morning about nothing happens without God's permissions, Lamentations 3:37. How about in John 19, Jesus and Pilate are together? Wouldn't say they're having a conversation. Pilate was doing a lot of talking, if you recall. And Pilate's getting a little frustrated, and he said to Jesus, now, Jesus, you need to start talking here a little bit. You know, you got to give me some explanation of, you know, help me out here. He said, because don't you get it, Jesus, that I have the power to crucify you on that cross, or I have the power to set you free. What did Jesus say to him? You wouldn't have any power over me at all, buddy, unless my Father in heaven gave it to you. You got it? What about Luke 22? Jesus is talking to Peter. And Jesus said, Peter, I need to talk to you a minute. I just need to tell you that Satan has come to me and asked permission. Did y'all hear what I just said? Satan has come to me, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, has come to me and asked permission to sift you as wheat. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Peter, knowing about Jesus, I would have said, well, you told him no, right? But Jesus did not say that. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Are y'all with me? Does that make you feel all alone? It shouldn't. Because whenever you hear that sinful nature yapping in your ear, remember that you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. There are so many, many scriptures in God's Word. Actually, the message of the cross is all over the Bible. It's amazing. And in the scriptures we're going to look at later today, in Romans 5 through 8, Galatians 5, something's going to become very evident to you, and that is this. That before you are a believer, you have one nature, and it is called a what? A sinful nature. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he moves in, takes up residence. You're hosting royalty. You're the hostess. Are y'all with me? Okay? I have been crucified with Christ. What does that mean? The old sinful nature has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer the old sinful nature that lives, but he lives in me. I'm the new creature. He came, he cleaned house. I'm hosting royalty. Revelation 14:4. I want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Lord, what do you want to do? Lord, what do you want to say? I'm the hostess. Okay? When I become a Christian, I have now two natures. I have a sinful nature, but this is the difference. It doesn't have me. Are y'all with me on this? You got to get this point. I have a sinful nature. You all know you do too. You hear. Yap, 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 right? You have a sinful nature, but it doesn't have you. You have two natures when you're a believer. And now you have a new nature, and guess what? It does have you. But you are not a puppet. And so you have a free will. John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments, that's the word of God, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. He wants me to be motivated by love to obey him. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Okay? So how, you know, I say, oh, I love you, God. And God's like, wait a minute. Let's talk about, how do you show me that you love me? Will you obey me? What is the greatest way I can obey God? By not listening to any other voice but his. Let me ask y'all a question. If you had your brain surgically removed, you'd still be a sinner, right? But would you ever sin again? You could never sin again. Why? Because where does sin begin, ladies? The mind. Everything starts in your mind, and we have the mind of Christ now. Who wants to trash your mind? The old sinful nature, most of all. The old sinful nature is a sorry lover. See, you've broken up with the sinful nature, and you're going with God, and he doesn't like it one bit. But God left the sinful nature there because he's testing us. Now, James 1:13 says, don't ever say God is tempting you, because God doesn't tempt us. But he does test us. He does test us. And he trains us. Let me tell you something, ladies. Only a cruel commander would put somebody on the front line without taking them through boot camp first. Would you agree with me on that? And when God puts something on your heart that he wants to do through your life, and he gives you the vision, or he just puts something on your heart, he's going to put obstacles in your way to prepare you for what it is that he wants to do. But what do we do with those obstacles? We become victims. Oh, this and that. We grumble and complain. Where does grumbling and complaining come from? The new man? The voice of God? No. And we're so, it's all meshed back together again. At salvation, he came and he cleaned house. You ever notice that many times when a person comes to Christ, it's just like they're like, I don't ever want to shop again. I'm not going to ever overeat again. I mean, I'm just done with all. I mean, why do you think it's like that? Because he really came and cleaned you out. But the new man has a will, and we have a choice. I can listen to what the sinful nature tells me to do, and I will not have life and peace. But if I turn through the power of the... See, hearing the sinful nature is not the sin, is it? Okay, so you hear it first, right? Are we right about this? Let me tell you something. It's not you. When you hear that, it's not you. It's not the new man. But you're so used to thinking it's you. Like, I don't know about, some of you may relate to me on this, but when I was a little girl, I was molested. And, I mean, sometimes these thoughts would come back to my mind as a result of all that. And my parents dealt with it beautifully, which that was a blessing, which I found out later in life. But nonetheless, even as I became a Christian, these thoughts would come back to my mind, and I'm like, and so do you understand? I mean, that's just one of many things. We all have things that the old sinful nature likes to bring back. Are y'all with me? God says, children, ladies, girls, do you know your position? You don't have to listen to that stuff. Now, did God make the sinful nature remind me of that? Did God make the sinful nature do that? No. But did he allow it? Why did he allow it? Because he's testing me. Debbie, you read my word every day. Do you know what it says? Do you know what it says? These words are your life. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think. This is Romans 8, 5 through 8. Think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Where does everything start? In your mind. When you're having a feeding frenzy, listening to your sinful nature, you're a victim. Oh, that's for non-Christians. You're just getting infected. It's like when you eat food that's poisonous, you get what? Food poisoning. And so your body is designed by God in such a way that when you get poisoned, what do you want to do? Go throw it up, right? Thank you, Lord. And so do you feel good after you eat that food? No. Do you feel good while you're throwing that up? No. How do you feel when you get it all out? Right? Life and peace. What happens if you don't throw it all up? If you don't throw it all up, you'll be right back there again. And I want to tell you that In these examples that I've given you right here, and this is the sheet that's stapled, and it says, God desires truth in the innermost being. Talks about David's honesty with God. Let me tell you what I call these David dumps. He was throwing up his feelings. Let me ask you guys something. At salvation, did God take your feelings away, your emotions? Did he take those away? But he did do something with your feelings and emotions. And what would that be? He did what? Anybody? He cleansed them. He cleansed your feelings and emotions, but he left them there. Did Jesus have feelings and emotions? He cried. Was he ever angry? What's the great example that comes to your mind? Turn those tables over. He was angry. It was righteous anger. Okay? Do you have feelings and emotions? Yes, you do. He said, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, let's look at some of these things about David. David expressed his anger with the Lord because he felt abandoned by him. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Sometimes he was very angry with others and expressed his anger to the Lord in terms that revealed the depth of his feelings. But who was he talking to here? The sinful nature? The little foxes? No. He was talking to God. Now, he was talking to God. This tells me I have permission to let it rip. You see, if I'm having a feeding frenzy, then I get infected and I push the Holy Spirit down. Can you feel that happening? But when I'm dumping on the Lord, can I infect God? I can't infect him. Can I infect you? Oh, yes, I can. I can definitely infect you. So I got to go get disinfected. Well, that's what he's doing here. Check this out. Break the teeth in their mouths, oh God? Well, that's no little thought. Tear out, oh Lord, the fangs of the lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away when they draw the bow. Let their arrows be blunted like a slug melting away as it moves along like a stillborn child. May they not... Oh, what? You can't talk to God like this. Or can you? Listen, he already hears it anyway. And let me tell you what happens. While you're talking to him and throwing all this up, when you're having a feeding frenzy and a victim and conversing with yourself, the Holy Spirit, how much of the Holy Spirit do we have? 100%. The question is, how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? So when you are having a feeding frenzy, you're getting sludge in your pipe. What's it doing? Pushing that spirit down. Can you feel it happening? What's filling up the rest of the space? That sludge in your pipe? It's the fruit of thinking incorrectly. It's the fruit of being a victim. It's a fruit of fraternizing with your flesh, the sinful nature. And so you push down the Holy Spirit. But when you go, like David's doing here, and you're dumping it out, is as you are dumping it out to the Lord, just like when you go literally throw up, the Holy Spirit's falling right behind, filling you up. It's very interesting. When I'm having a feeding frenzy with myself, I could care less what I have to say, and I'll just say it over and over and over, and I'll just feel worse and worse and more infected. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, if I turn away and have the same conversation with God, it's very interesting that when I'm having a conversation with myself, I never really hear myself. But when I turn and talk to God, I hear every word I'm saying. When I change my audience from the sinful nature or the enemy, who cares who it is? They're both horrible. Because ladies get feisty. You don't have to listen to that anymore. The sinful nature wants you to think that it still has power over you. And my Bible says the message of the cross is, ladies, take your position. That sinful nature that you hear yapping in your ear absolutely has no power over you. That is what your Savior did on the cross for you. Do you understand that? And all, do you notice the sinful nature brings your past to mind? Sometimes just make it just ruin your whole day, right? Because you get infected. But let me just tell you something. This is not some method I'm talking about here. This is what we see people in the Bible doing, going to the Father being completely honest. Let me tell you something. You have permission. He desires truth in the innermost being. You have permission to talk to God like this. I have to prove it to you. That's why I have it black and white here for you. It's all over the Bible, but here's a few more. Number three. David wrote of his despair about difficult situations. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. The next one. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And that sounds like he's self-centered, doesn't it? Listen, you can be that way with God. He can handle it. You can't. If you better disinfect. You want to get that out of there. Are y'all with me? Okay. How long must I wrestle with my what? My thoughts. And every day have sorrow in my heart. Why does God allow the old sinful nature to yap in my ear? Because he's testing me. He's training me. You know, am I a fake? I mean, can I just quote 1,000 scriptures and what happens when God tests me? I mean, I hope I don't forget to remember. But I don't know if you're like me. I do forget to remember every day. And I probably talk about what I'm talking to you about every day with somebody. And I have to. And I hope you all will too. Because, you know, we need to be reminded. Like Paul says, I will not stop reminding you. I know you know these things, but I'm not going to stop reminding you of them. You know, it's interesting, and you're going to read it in Romans 6, but it talks about this new teaching. What I'm telling you, that's the new teaching he was talking about. And what I'm afraid for myself and for everybody is that they never really got the new teaching. They knew the words, but they didn't know the how-to. And the how-to is all over the Bible. It's all over the Bible. Well, let me give you an example of some of this. And there's many other verses. You can read them later. You know, check out Jeremiah 20. That's another great passage, which I'm not going to go over at this moment. But Jeremiah 20 is, it's in three paragraphs. That was just where I was reading through the Bible, and he's like, God, I'm just, you know, you put me in this position. I'm just tired of it. And he's just fussing at God. He's just telling him how he feels. And then I notice in the next paragraph, he's like, praise you, Lord. You're just the most awesome. And I'm like, that sounds like me. And then in the next paragraph, curse the day I was born. You know, roller coaster. But the point is, he's talking to the Savior. He's not having a feeding frenzy with his flesh. So he's not getting infected. He's getting disinfected. Are y'all with me? Listen, God can handle it. He commands the morning. Amen. Okay? He just loves it. We're talking to him. Before I tell you my story, I have to say that I love my brother dearly. We are very close, which, of course, is why we got in this little spat. Actually, it wasn't so little. It was quite large. And are y'all with me? The holidays have been here. Anybody have any little, you know, family interactions? Only the guilty laugh. Okay. It doesn't have to be during the holidays, but, you know, that is the time when it seems to happen. And actually, because the more you love people, the more people love you, the more they can hurt you, right? And, you know, when I think about that, do you think about how much God loves us? And his love is so great. I mean, so great. I'm so worried about how I feel hurt when somebody does something to me, but what does his hurt feel like? Because his love is perfect. My love isn't perfect. So anyway, my brother and I were having a heated discussion, very heated as a matter of fact, and it hardly ever happens, and that's kind of what gets you all riled, you know. And so anyway, I won't go into all the details of that. You can just, I'm sure you all have your own that you could imagine. And anyway, so I left this fight we were having, and I got in my car, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I was saying in my feeding frenzy, because I forgot to remember everything I'm telling you. That is called the learning curve. But there is a good end to my story. Now, I'm a missionary. I've been a missionary for the last 25 years. I cussed 3 times in my feeding frenzy. I said to the Lord, not to the Lord. I said, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. I'm never talking to him again. I'm not taking him food. I've had it. I'm not calling him for months. That's it. And I was good. I was going to town. And I was just letting it rip in my car driving. And I was shaking because, you know, when you get mad sometimes, you know. And here he comes riding across the heavens to help me. Debbie? Now, this was the very, I'm telling you this story. I always tell this story because it was the first time that I was able to really apply what I'm telling you. It was a holy moment for me. Debbie, what I want you to do is, and he brought Romans 8, 12 through 14 to my mind. I want you to ask me to empower you to turn away from that feeding frenzy that you're in. It's pretty nasty. And I want you to turn to the power of my spirit. I want you to tell me exactly what you were just saying to yourself. Now, I think this is very interesting, but on my cell phone, I have one of those little earplugs. I became very conscious of talking, and I put my earplug in so nobody would think that I was talking to myself. But I find it very interesting that prior to me talking to the Lord, I didn't care if I had that earplug in or not. Isn't that interesting? Oh, well. Well, I began to hear everything. I said, okay, God, this is how I feel. And I want you to write that down. Okay, God, this is how I feel. Some people have said to me, Debbie, I could never talk to God that way. I said, why not? Everybody in the Bible does. You know, you got to disinfect. You can't disinfect. You know, you're not going to disinfect if you're having a feeding frenzy. And you're definitely not going to disinfect if you go talk to a friend, because only going to God is what disinfects you. And so I said, okay, God, this is how I feel. And I was just as mad then as I was when I was having my feeding frenzy. And I said, I hate him. I'm sick of him. I'm tired of him. I'm not fixing him dinner anymore. I'm not going over there. I've had it. And how dare him talk to me that way. And I'm just over it. Blah, blah, you know. Can anybody relate to me? I mean, I know that it's not a pretty picture, but I'm being honest. And I'm just like, I am just done with him. And I'm so sorry, God. I don't mean that. I'm so sorry I'm having these thoughts. And I'm crying, and I'm really crying, and I'm watching myself crying, and I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. Really, I hate that I was doing this. And the next thing you know, I'm actually picking up my phone and I'm dialing his number. And I said, Ron, can you ever forgive me? I am so sorry. I never meant to talk to you that way. I had no expectations of him apologizing to me or anything. Really, I didn't at all. And he said, well, Deb, would you forgive me? I am so sorry too. And I hung that phone up. I can't even tell you the peace that I had. And God said to me, do you see what took less than 3 minutes can sometimes take 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years, 33 years? Are y'all with me? 333 years. Are y'all with me? Because you see what was happening. I couldn't figure out, like, what was the difference in my feeding frenzy and my fellowshipping with the Father? Because as I was fellowshipping with the Father, and it's the only place this can happen, as the Spirit, do you think the Spirit of God was quenched when I was having my feeding frenzy? What do you guys think? Oh, yeah. But as I was throwing up the poison, see, I got infected. All right, because I was listening to my sinful nature. The sinful nature loves to bring division. Are y'all with me on this? Division between God and I. Division between people and I. Okay? The mind, ladies, is where it starts. Beyond the alert, it's the mind. And so, as I was throwing all this up to the Lord, the reason I started crying, and I mean, I had learned all this, but I never experienced what I'm telling you. The Holy Spirit was following right behind, clearing the temple. And then when I threw it all up, I mean, I got it all out because I said, okay, this is how I feel. Sometimes it's the things that are small that are more difficult because they're little foxes that you listen to. You have to ask God, please show me when it's any other voice I'm hearing but yours. Are you with me? Okay. And so within moments, it was gone. Let me tell you this verse again in Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. You think I was thinking about sinful things? But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, which it was, there is death. Do you think I felt like I was dead? Yeah. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Do you see that's what I ended up with? Peace. I had peace. It's like physically when you throw up, you have peace when you're done. Now, my Savior went to the Father and talked to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane like this. Didn't he? In the book of Matthew, and he's my greatest example. If my Savior can go dump on the Father, then I can. How many times in the book of Matthew did he go back to have that same exact talk with God? Do you think Satan was yapping in his ear? Okay, although he was a son, he learned obedience for the things he suffered. Yet he himself was tempted in that which we have suffered. He was tempted, but he never sinned. But he did go to God and tell him how he felt. What did he say in that garden? Talk about how do we talk to God when we go to dump? He started off and he said, Abba Father, that's intimacy. The next thing he acknowledged who he was talking to, he said, I know that nothing's impossible for you. Nothing's too difficult for you. He was setting his case, wasn't he? Abba Father, nothing's too difficult for you. What was the next thing he said? Please take this cup from me. Is that the epitome of truth in the innermost being? What would that mean if that... What would that mean? That would mean that we wouldn't be saved. Jesus was fully God, but he was fully human. He had feelings. He had feelings, ladies. You understand what he was asking God to do? Please take this cup from me. But then he said, but not my will. Thy will be done. So let me take you through that progression again. Abba Father, intimacy. Huh. God, you can do anything. You have all power. Acknowledging who God is. Honesty, please take this cup from me. Not my will. Humility. But your will be done. Surrender. You see? Honesty, truth in the innermost being. My Savior did it. Which prepared him, by the way. His emotions were healed, if you will. His emotions were healed. Hearing the sinful nature and not engaging does not mean you don't have to go talk to God. Because hearing the sinful nature, if God allows it, you can know that God wants you to turn and talk to him. Now, God wasn't finished with me after I picked up the phone and talked to my brother. Okay? Because I went from being a victim, which I'm not a victim, neither are you, to a victor. And God said, no, Debbie, you're not done. You see, I didn't make that happen today with you and your brother, but I did allow it to happen. Because, you see, the Father and I are praying for you, but the Father and I are praying for your brother. And some of the things that you saw, those are prayer requests now. And everything you just threw up and you got that pile there, we want you to join us in intercession for your brother. This is the work of the kingdom. Are y'all with me, ladies? We are so bogged down in having conversations with ourselves, rehearsing conversations, being victims, doing baggage maintenance, that we never get about the work of the kingdom, because prayer is the work, ladies. It's talking to God. It's a relationship. That's what he saved us for. Prayer is the work. The work is not the work. The work is the fruit of our prayers. What is prayer? Talking to God. And so God made it very clear to me, you're not finished. You're not finished. I allowed this to happen. There's no waste in my economy. Of course, I was greatly ministered to by this, as you all hear. But then I understood, and I'm going to tell you something. When I disinfected and threw all that up, and my tendency is just to be, oh, I'm so glad I'm, you know, now I'm taken care of, I'm relieved. Oh, and God says, you're not finished. Because, you see, I allowed that to happen. I didn't make it happen. God does make some things happen. We read that in the Bible. Something you're like, God made that happen? Oh, yes, he did. But he allowed this to happen. Because he's inviting me to join he and the Father in intercession. What is Jesus doing? He sits at the right hand. He lives to intercede. This is the work of the kingdom, ladies. You understand how intimate it is? See, if you don't understand that you're not God's victim, because anytime anything happens with a person, God is allowing it. Doesn't mean he's making it happen. But if he's allowing it, ladies, don't stop there. This next part you need to write down. He's looking for an obedient response. And it's not passive. And the obedient response is not to have a feeding frenzy with yourself or call a friend and have a feeding frenzy with them. It's to turn through the power of the Spirit and talk to your Father. You will never, ever be able to turn back in your life walking with God any other way when you start experiencing this. But I will promise you that I've never met anybody that's listened to this message of the cross that after they hear it, he doesn't test them. You know why? This is very serious, because this is your position. This is what he's done for you. I had another situation where I have a friend for years, and We all have friends like this, but God, you know, kept me in the relationship, and I really love this person, and sometimes they just sting me with their words. Does anybody have a person like that in their life? Or, you know, well, immediately I just want to recoil and, you know, say something back in my mind, or maybe say something to them, a spiritual comeback. And yes, we all know. And so, but anyway, God is teaching me everything I'm sharing with you, and I went to this person's house, and before I left their house, they said something stinging to me. Well, I didn't like it. Do y'all like to get stung by people's words? I like life-giving words. That's what I like. But you see, the thing I realize, who is this person listening to? Would that be God they're listening to? Because whoever you listen to is what comes out of your mouth. And you can tell when somebody's listening to their sinful nature or those little foxes because you can hear it, because it comes in your mind. Hearing it's not the sin. Leaning in to listen is dangerous. Engaging, bye-bye. Down you go. But through the power of the Spirit, you can turn from it. But the point is, you don't want to have to go to the listening part and the engaging part. You want to hear it and go, ah, ha, ha, ha. Oh, Lord. You don't have to talk to your sinful nature or the enemy. You talk to him because he's allowing it. He wants you to come and talk to him. And so I got in my car that day after my friend kind of stung me with their words, and I forgot to remember again everything I'm telling you. And so I was at the hearing point. I was hearing all that, and it was just like, you know, I was hearing it. But I hadn't engaged yet. Are y'all following me here? I just was hearing it. And so this is what the old me did. I said, God, I am so sorry I am having those thoughts. And he said, Debbie, that's not you. That's not you, the new man. That was the first time in my life that I really got the separation there. Are y'all with me on this? I'm not kidding you. If I had a convertible, I would have flown out of my convertible. I got it. That was the old sinful nature trying to bring division between my friend and I, ultimately, and God and I. And the Lord said to me, Debbie, that was not you that you're hearing. That's the old sinful nature. And he said, tell me how you're feeling. Well, I found something out that really shocked me. I said, okay, this is how I feel. I love to start like that because it just lets me move ahead. I said, this is how I feel. I'm, you know, like this. She always does this to me. I mean, I thought after all these years of this going on that I had forgiven her and I had gone. I didn't realize I had a bank account and it was gaining interest. And there was a lot of sludge in my pipe that came out that day about this person. Are y'all following me on this? I didn't even know, like, you know, you don't have to go searching yourself with your spotlight, see what's wrong inside of you. Don't do that. God knows the timing. He'll bring it through your word or bring it through. You just follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Stay in his word every day. Read relationally. He'll bring it up when he's ready. Don't go in there and try to find things. My Bible says, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God. Not search me, O Debbie. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Psalm 81:13 and 14. Oh, that my people, that's you and I, would listen to me. Oh, that they would follow me, walking in my paths. How quickly I would then subdue their enemies, and how soon my hands would be upon their foes. You know what that means? Oh, that my people would listen to me. That's listening to God's voice. Oh, that they would follow me, walking in my paths. Not go off and do my own thing, not listen to the sinful nature, how quickly I would then subdue your enemies. How soon my hands would be upon your foes. You know what that means? That means if you're going to get your own hands on your enemies, oh, don't we love to do that? And it always starts in the mind first. And if you're going to subdue your own foes, it's going to go ahead. Jeremiah 2:19 says, even your own wickedness will correct you. He is the one. Every word of God proves true. He defends all of those who come to him for protection. Are y'all with me? Very important. And so God wasn't done with me with my friend that day either. He said, Debbie, I have been waiting all these years for you to passionately pray for this person. You see, what I was doing with this person was baggage maintenance. She would hurt me. I would just, you know, be a martyr. Oh, okay, I forgive her. And, you know, I'm just going to keep going back and being a good witness to her. And, yeah. And the Lord said, now, you see, the Father and I see all things about you. The Father and I see all things about this person. We're not showing you everything about this person, but what we are showing you, you see, although he was a son, he learned obedience to the things he suffered. Do you suffer somewhat when somebody hurts you with their words? I think you do. I do. You do. And so I had ingredients when I told the Lord how it made me feel. He said, we want you to join us in intercession for her. Do you know that I love that person more today than I ever have? I've seen that person change, and I haven't gotten stung in a long time. Are y'all following me? Because instead of being a problem to the problem, doing it God's way, you become a solution to the problem. When you're not a victim and you're living as a victor, so you don't have to work for the victory anymore. You work from the victory. That's Jesus took care of that. He became a victim for you. You don't have to work for something you already have. You have a sinful nature. It doesn't have you. Your sinful nature wants to have a date with you and call you on the phone 24/7. If you know what I'm talking about? Don't answer that phone. Don't, oh, that person over there, I'm just like, the way they just looked at me. Now, would that be the new man speaking? Let me ask you that. No. Would that be God's voice speaking to you? No. I wonder what that is. Get feisty, ladies. Stand up and take your position. And listen, don't try to figure this out on your own. Immediately go to God and say, now, God, would that be your voice? No. Process of elimination is good here. Let's see. God, would that be the voice of the new man? No. Would that be the voice of the old sinful nature? I think it probably is. Or those little foxes, I think it probably is. It's only the voice of God that wants, that he wants us to listen to. It's only his voice. How would you feel, ladies? Most of you in here are probably moms. I'm not a mom. There's some people that aren't moms. But let me ask you something. First of all, let's look at Harry and William. Okay, they were born into royalty. Would y'all agree? Did they do anything to earn that position? Nope, they didn't do anything to earn that position. Nothing at all. But don't you think it's important that they know that they're royalty? I mean, it really is kind of important, isn't it? I mean, you know, just they act a little differently. They do things differently. Well, guess what? We were also born into royalty. Amen. It's really important that you know your position. When you have children, they're born into your household. They're babies. I mean, they get gifts from you all the time. Like you provide food for them. You provide shelter, clothing, shoes, transportation. I mean, did they do anything to earn that? No, you're their parent. It's a gift. God's our parent. It's a gift to us. But how would you feel if here you've given your child all this? 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. How would you feel here you've provided food, clothing, shoes, car, running water, baths, whatever else you provide? How would you feel if you saw your child out your front door, out your window, in the neighborhood, eating out of people's garbage cans, hitchhiking, shabby clothes, dirty, smelly, no bath? What would you think? What would you think? Why aren't they coming home? They don't have to even do anything for everything I've provided for them. Do you understand that's what we're doing with what God's given us? Lady, it's time. Ladies, it's time for that to stop. You are hosting royalty. You have a new nature. You have a sinful nature, but it doesn't have you. That is your position. And so everything starts in your what? In your mind. As a man thinks in his mind, so he is, so he does. Matthew 7:21 says, it's the thought life that defiles you. It's that sludge I'm talking about. You know, I ask the Lord often when he gives me illustrations, I ask him, Lord, would you just give me scripture that backs up these pictures you're giving me? And I was blown away. Minding my own business, reading through the Bible where I was, and I ended up in Matthew 27, and this is where Jesus is clearing the temple. Do you remember that? He comes in, he's not very happy. And so, you know, I'm reading this whole passage, and, you know, he says, "And my house, what? Shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it into a what? Den of thieves." What I'm about to tell you was another one of those holy moments, and hang on for the ride of your life as I tell you this. It was months prior to being in this place in the Bible where I was reading that I had asked God to give me scripture that backs up what happens when you throw up and you get disinfected and you're filled back up with the power of the Spirit. And so, you know, I just asked him and I left it at the foot of the cross. And so here I am, read all with me. Powerful story in the Word of God. Powerful example. And so Jesus Christ is the one that clears the temple, isn't he? Listen, ladies, have you ever been, and actually this happened to me, have you ever been eating dinner, and if you have a dog or you know somebody that has a dog, and you're eating, and that, what does the dog want to do when you're eating? He wants your attention. Okay. Well, the sinful nature is like that dog, if you will. All right? If I take my hand and go to the dog, go sit down, go away, I just acknowledged him, didn't I? You know what he'll do? He'll back up. And a few minutes later, guess what? He's right back up there again, isn't he? Of course, if I turn to him and go, "Oh, you're so nice, but I'm not giving you any food," he's not going anywhere. He's staying right there. Don't talk to him. Don't talk to your sinful nature. Don't acknowledge your sinful nature outwardly. But if that dog is there and you're eating, let me tell you, it's the same way you deal with the sinful nature. Now, you know it's there, and you can hear it. You can hear the dog going, right? Do not give it any eye contact. Do not acknowledge it at all. And guess what? It'll go away. Now, like in Matthew 4, remember Satan left, and he only came back at a more opportune time. Now, you'll notice if you have four people sitting at the table, that dog will go to somebody else, right? But I just want to tell you something, ladies, and maybe you can say it with me now. I've said it so many times this morning. Help me. Romans 8, 12 through 14. Ready? "So, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature is urging you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will what? Live." Ah. Oh. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Yes.
When you're talking to God, does it matter if it's God or Jesus?
No, they're all... I say God, Jesus, oh, your Spirit. I just, you know, the three in one. Good question, though. Good question. Ladies, my heart, Psalm 27:8, my heart has heard you say, "Come and talk with me." My heart responds, "Lord, I'm coming." Y'all, we're in a holy boot camp to learn to walk like this. I have to tell you something. There's a girl named Kilty. She's a brand new Christian. And I had just prayed. And let me tell you something. You are going to be amazed at the power of God flowing through your life when you start walking with God like this, or continue walking with God like this. Because do you understand the sludge in your pipe is going to be gone? Because you're constantly doing temple maintenance. And now you know how to do temple maintenance. You're talking to him, talking to him. You're going to hear the sinful nature. Count on it. Plan on it. And know that your Father in heaven, nothing happens without his permission. He's looking for an obedient response, which isn't passive. He's training you. He's testing you. And you can't do anything apart from him. This gal, Kilty, I had prayed probably 2 weeks prior to this. I said, "Lord, you know, I just really would like to lead somebody to Christ. Could you just send somebody?" Did you ever ask him that? Listen, when you walk around in the power of the Spirit, because you're always keeping short accounts, you're always, you know, people, don't people bother you every day? Sometimes I'm one of those people that bother somebody else. I mean, you know. But what a wonderful thing. I've done this with couples under the headship of the husband. I have seen marriages transformed, ladies. Unbelievable when both people are doing this. I mean, can you understand why? You understand why? Quick, catch all the little foxes before they ruin the vineyard of your love with the Lord, for all the grapevines are in blossom. Well, anyway, I prayed that, that you know, God would send me somebody. Well, I'm a calligrapher, and so this girl, Kilty, had a big long list of people to choose from to do her wedding invitations, and she chose me. And, you know, the Lord just opened the door, And the first time I was with her, I gave her a Bible. Because, you know, if you don't have Bibles, you guys get Bibles. I have these little Bibles, the New Believer's Bible, little pocket size. And in the front, it shares the gospel. And so we got in a conversation, and God just opened the door for me to give her a Bible. Well, the second time she came back, she just got right back into the same conversation because she came to pick up her job that I did. And this is how it started. And long ago, I prayed. I said, Lord, would you please use this calligraphy to draw people to yourself? I don't know how you're going to do that. But Kilty asked me, she said, oh, this is beautiful. I mean, you know, beauty's, it's just relative. Some people wouldn't think it's beautiful. Some people do. But she said, how did you learn to do this? And I mean, here we go. I said, you know, when I became a Christian, this wasn't like contrived or anything. It just flowed. See, Jesus ministers to other people out of the abundance of his relationship with the Father. Well, let me tell you what, if you're talking to the Father all the time instead of talking to yourself, and it's not always pretty when you're talking to the Father. Have you picked that up today? You're going to minister out of the abundance of your relationship with him. And so I told her that, I said, you know, that I had started reading the Bible, and I said, oh, the words in the Bible were just, I wanted to share them with people, and they're beautiful, and they helped me in my life. And so I just asked God if he would help me learn how to do calligraphy, and I said he did. Then I had a friend that helped me with, you know, she gave me 4 lessons and kind of straightened out the things I was doing wrong. And she said, well, what do you mean when you became a Christian? I mean, aren't you always a Christian? And I mean, the Lord said, you ask me to send you somebody. I hear him saying it. You ask me. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So, you know, can you hear from God? Yes, you can. Make sure it lines up with Scripture, though. You got to be in the Word. You got to read the whole Bible, ladies, not just little bits and pieces. You got to have the whole counsel of God. You know how Satan always misquoted things and turn, you know, don't do that. And so, I began to share the gospel with her. Well, I'm just talking and sharing the gospel with her, and she just starts crying. And I can see the Holy Spirit. Whew. And so there she goes. She prayed to receive Christ. And I want to tell you something. It was the most, for me personally, I could tell you, I mean, it's so awesome. That's why praying out, you know, if you haven't asked God for an opportunity to, look, if you came to Christ yourself, you know how to share the gospel. they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, ladies. Give them your testimony. Don't hold back. And plus, when you're walking around with all this sludge in your pipe gone, what's left in there? You're just hosting royalty, the power of the Spirit. Do you understand how free you are? John 8:36, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. Galatians 5:1, now that Christ has set you free, make sure you stay free. Make sure you stay free. Did I tell you today how to make sure? Does everybody get it, how to make sure today? I mean, there's some growing pains. If you go to the gym and you start lifting weights, you don't just go, oh, yeah, I'm doing 50 pounds. You start small, go deep, and think big. Okay? Well, after Kilty received Christ, that moment, I said, Kilty, let me just tell you what just happened to you. You used to have one nature. It was a sinful nature. You've got two natures now. And I said, that old sinful nature appeals to you through your what, ladies? Mind. You can say, oh, maybe my eyes. Well, what you see, you think. I mean, you know, it goes right there. And I said, when you hear that old sinful nature, boy, she knew exactly what I was talking about. So when you hear that old sinful nature, you know what? That is not God. And that is not the new man. That's the sinful nature. And he is ticked off because you just broke up with him forever. And he's gonna call you up for dates. He's going to stalk you. He's going to want to talk to you on the phone a little bit. Go have a cup of coffee. Let's just go talk about that person. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Don't go. Listen, be loyal to the new lover of your soul. Satan never has your best interest in mind. Your sinful nature never has your best interest in mind. So why are you listening to him? Because you don't have to anymore. This isn't psychology, ladies. It's the message of the cross. The blood of Christ washed your past away. Are y'all with me on this? Jesus said, you do not believe me? If you want me to protect you, learn to believe what I say. Or this verse, which I wish I had it memorized, and I don't yet. Now I've lost it. Where did it go? Here it is. Abraham, put your name in that place, was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything he promised. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Did he promise that? Is that a promise from God's word? Are you absolutely convinced? Maybe you're like me. Some days I'm not. I mean, I am, but I'm not. My actions show that I forgot to remember. Jesus can work with a want to. And so I want to tell you something. I have never in my whole Christian life been able to lead someone to Christ and share this message immediately that I shared with you right now. It was a shorter version. I'll tell you what, I'm not telling you that God's not testing her and she's on a new Christian learning, but I want to tell you something. When she gets together, think, yep, I heard my sinful nature, but I just turned away and went, that is not God and that is not me. I'm the new man and I don't have to listen to that. See, she understood the new teaching from the beginning because God has been teaching me and I'm able to pass it on. Ladies, if God is gripping your heart, you digest this yourself and think about it and meditate on it and pass it on. And if you're in a Salt and Light group or whatever group you're in, would you please talk about this? Because if you don't talk about it, you're probably not going to do it. We're better together. You know that? Okay? Let us, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us encourage one another all the more. Ecclesiastes 9, 11. Two are better than one. If one falls down, the other one's there to pick them up. We're better together. I want to close before our lunch break just very briefly here. You see where it says, do you hear what I hear? And I'm not going over this. I just want you to know what's in here because you're just going to be blown away by this. I'm exposing the old sinful nature. Listen, you guys, has everybody in here broken up with their sinful nature? Have you all broken up with them? Now, you don't have the sinful nature as a mistress, do you? No. No. Okay. We're going with God. He has our best interest in mind. That voice, you know, Satan appears as an angel of light. So does the old sinful nature. They're pretty close related to one another. All right. But this conflict, Galatians 5 says, this conflict between the two natures will never cease. Your choices are never free from this conflict. God's warning us. What are your choices never free from this conflict? Because when God allows the sinful nature to yap in your ear, what is he doing? And is he against you or for you? Only a cruel commander puts you on the front line without what? Training you, putting you in boot camp. Quit complaining about the obstacles. Thank God there's obstacles. You know, if I don't know, I don't know how these guys do it, and I know some girls do it. But when you go to boot camp, I mean, can y'all imagine? I mean, I can't even do one of those, what do you call them, push-ups. But I guess I'd have to learn to do it. It's for my own protection. Okay, it's for my own protection. Listen, the Lord will, Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you where you remain silent. You're fully equipped, adequate for every good work. You have everything you need for life and godliness. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. This isn't my opinion. I'm giving you biblical examples. Your Savior, most of all, who went to the Father all the time. Now, I want you to look at this. It says, the heart God revives. On the left side represents your old sinful nature or the enemy, the little foxes. Who cares which it is? The right side is the new creature in Christ. The right side is the mind of Christ. And you can see this very clear. And I want to expose this so when you hear it come to your ear, you know, hey, that's not me anymore. That's not me. And that's what discourages all of us. I think it is me. And when I realize that the new man engaged with the old man and I've got sludge in my pipe, oh, baby, I got a place to go. I go running home to Papa. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I turn away from it. Don't you love the disrespect of the sinful nature? It. Please, please, please memorize this verse. Please memorize this verse. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22 says, pay attention, my child, to what I say. Listen carefully. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart, for they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meaning. That's a promise. That's a promise. Look at some, I mean, I don't know about you, but this whole left column here, I have heard these things before. But let me tell you something. It's not you, the new man. Do not go have a date. Don't have a phone call. Don't go have coffee with this voice. Proud people, the flesh, for confession and not condemnation, focus on the failures of others. Would that be God's voice? God, would that be your voice? No. Would that be the voice of the new man? No. Well, wonder what that is. That the old sinful nature, isn't it? But broken people are overwhelmed with the sense of their own spiritual need. What would that be? The Holy Spirit of God. I have 100% of. I want to stay filled up. But when I get poisoned and infected, oh, I know right where to go. Now, sometimes I can go to a sister, if you understand this message, because she's going to tell me, well, you know, Deb, you're not going to get disinfected telling me, but I can be a bridge to get you there. Please don't go be telling people whatever it is that you need to help get you to God if they don't understand this message, because you're just going to trash them. Okay. How about the next one? Proud people, the flesh, the sinful nature, have a critical fault-finding spirit. Look at everyone else's faults with a microscope of their own with a telescope. Have you ever heard that in your mind? Of course. We're all laughing because only the guilty laugh. Yes, we have heard it. Listen, you have no... That isn't you. And don't worry about all the past now that you have infected. You're infected. Maybe today the Lord's just going to have you go dump. But he'll get it out. He'll get it out. Let him do it. Don't you go trying to do it yourself. You just get too overwhelmed and discouraged. It's too hard. But what do broken people do? They're compassionate. They can forgive much because they know how much they've been forgiven. Listen, I couldn't pray for my brother until I disinfected. And besides, if I would have been spiritual, playing Christian, I would say, okay, Lord, I forgive him. You know, I just pray that you'd help him, you know. Yeah. God's like, right, you are so angry right now. You understand what I'm saying? Let's not fake it. God already knows. And plus, when you fake it, you're pulling your bag. You got all that junk in your baggage maintenance there. Temple maintenance is going to him. He is the one that cleanses you. Proud people are self-righteous, look down on others. Broken people esteem all others better than themselves. So you can read this later. This is not for condemnation. Okay, ladies, don't read it like that. I'm just trying to expose that voice of the old sinful nature. All right? And don't be having an attitude with the old sinful nature. If God allows your sinful nature to yap in your ear, he's testing you. You look right to him. You know, God said, you know, do I test you 24/7? Are you tested 24/7? I mean, every second of the day? No. God selects what he's going to use to put in your path. I can't believe it, but something came up last night, and it was just like, and I was into it. I was having a feeding frenzy. And here I am reading over all this to tell you guys. And I'm like, oh. And then I started laughing. I'm like, okay. Oh, you're so fun. All right. Okay. Now, I'm being honest. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and it's just hysterical to me, but because I forget to remember. But you know what? He doesn't condemn me for that. I know what to do now. All right? On the back, same thing, and I love this on the back. If you're thinking of getting a divorce, or you know somebody that is, this is great. Same thing, the left side. God told me to get a divorce. Whose voice would that be?
Satan.
Yes. Forget it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, turn away. If you don't engage, you're not going to get sludge in your pipe, but you do still need to go tell God how you feel because he heals your emotions. If you engage and go dump it on God, he's still going to heal your emotions, and the sludge in your pipe is going to go because he's going to clear the temple. Why? Because his house is called the house of prayer, and you're going to be praying in the power of the Spirit. You see, if I would have just prayed for my brother, you know, God, just, you know, forgive him for acting that way and forgive me and, you know, just help him, Lord, with so-and-so, and I'm just so angry. I did the right thing outwardly, but inwardly I'm dead man's bones. I'm a whitewashed tomb. You understand what I'm saying? Ugh. Who wants to have that kind of baggage maintenance to pull around and play Christian? It's awful. But, you know, that's what we do because we don't know what else to do. So we just do it, and we walk around defeated. That's not a fun thing to do. Because if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. What did he do on this cross? He set us free. So you can keep reading this, but the whole left side of these two charts, front and back, that's what you hear from the old sinful nature. Ladies, don't own it. Would you do me a favor? Don't own all this stuff that you hear. I mean, if you need to confess it, go ahead if you've engaged. But when you hear this, would you just, like, through the power of the Holy Spirit, turn away and be feisty and take your position? Because you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen race. You're a daughter of the King. You're here to do the work of the kingdom, which is whatever God allows. Do you think Stephen, when he was being... Did God allow Stephen to be stoned? Do you think Stephen was having a conversation with God? Oh, God, these stones feel so good.
No.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, I just love being used this way. I don't think so. I mean, even my Savior said, please take this cup from me. Jesus had his final pouring his heart out dump at the cross, didn't he? What did he say? He knew the answer to this, but he said it because it's how he felt. Father, what? Why have you forsaken me? If my Savior can be that honest, then you know what? I can too. Jesus didn't have any sin he was dumping out. He was just dumping his feelings and emotions. You only get sin and sludge in your pipe when you engage. And so please take this, utilize it, read over it. And would you like me to pray for the food? Because I think it's lunchtime. Or are you going to pray for the food? Or, and we're going to come back, and I want you to don't forget everything we just talked about, okay? Could y'all do me a favor at lunch? Do y'all think this is important, what we're talking about here? This is the foundation of your Christian life. Would you at lunch talk about how is God speaking to you? Would y'all get in conversations like that? I don't want to lose our momentum, because when we come back, he's got another place to take us. Take your position and stand. Who are we? We're a royal priesthood. You've heard these words before, but God has given us a how-to today, hasn't he? He's given us a how-to. You have no. Are you going to hear your sinful nature? Yes, you are. And God is testing us. He wants to know, where's your loyalty? Are you still going to keep dating that? I thought you broke up with the sinful nature. I thought you're going with me. Who's the lover of our soul? He is very patient, isn't he? Very patient. It reminds me of Hosea and Gomer, if you know that story. Amazing. Amazing love. How can it be? That's what I think of when I think of this. Okay. I wanted to bring back to your mind just a minute about reading relationally. For example, if I was reading Galatians chapter 5, it would sound something like this. And I just keep reading until the Holy Spirit talks to me. And then when I feel like he impresses something on me, whether it's a question I have or I just talk back to him, what I'm going to say may not at all sound like what you would say, because the Holy Spirit knows how to deal with this independently. So I'm in my quiet time, and I'm in Galatians 5, and so I'm going to read it out loud. Sometimes I do read out loud, actually. So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And Lord, I just need you to strengthen me and remind me that you have set me free. And Lord, just would you just please help me through the power of your Holy Spirit to turn away from any other voice I'm hearing but yours so that I stay free. And Lord, I just want to ask you to forgive me for the times that I choose to listen to the sinful nature, choose to hang out all day and listen to that voice. And Lord, would you just forgive me? And Lord, I just thank you that you've really set me free. And then I would just go on and listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you're counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ cannot help you. I'll say it again, if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all the regulations and the whole law of Moses. And Lord, am I trying to find favor with you by my works? And Lord, would you just show me today if I am? Now, why did I respond like that? Because when I read that just now, I had a little check, a little question. But it's not something that I know the answer to, so I just asked him to show me. And I'll give you another example. Do you remember in the Gospels when Jesus is talking to Peter and he tells Peter he's going to deny him three times? And what did Peter say? Oh, no, I would never do that. And of course, you know the rest of the story. He did do that. And so when I was reading relationally, I just stopped and I said, well, Lord, and I used to be afraid sometimes to ask God, like, am I doing that? Because I didn't want to hear the answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, let me just, pretend like you're not there. Right. Okay. That's not the truth, is it? And so, but I'm not afraid anymore because I just know what to do with all this. I can go talk to him and dump it out. And so I said, well, Lord, I knew the answer was yes, but I don't know. I'm not afraid. I can go boldly before the throne of grace and talk to him. So I said, well, Lord, is there anything that, like Peter, is there anything I'm denying you of? And he answered me and he said, you deny my voice. And I was like, okay, well. And not that that surprised me, but it was a quick answer. And I said, well, will you show me today, if I'm denying your voice? Because I want to only listen to your voice. And I want to I know how to deny. I just don't want to deny your voice. I want to deny the voice of the sinful nature. And so I was between meeting with people, and I went to this store. It was like a discount store, and I love bargains. Anybody else in here like bargains? Well, and I was going in there to get a gift for somebody in this window of time that I had, which wasn't very much. And so I was going down the aisle, and I found something that I wanted to get and for this person. And so, you know, I had it in my hands. And, well, then I thought, well, gee, I'm going to get something for me because, you know, it's on sale, and I can find something in here at a good price and justify, you know. And this sweet, gentle voice said, no, I want you to leave. Well, I thought, I must just be imagining that. I'm not, you know, I was trying to ignore it, actually. And while I was ignoring it, it's like the Lord said, you asked me to show you when you deny my voice. This is what I'm talking about. Oh. But, you know, I kept walking. And I said, Lord, you know what? I know that I'm not going to find anything in this store because you told me to leave. And I already know that, so why I'm just wasting time walking around here. Do you hear what's going on here? So when I get done walking around, I didn't leave. I just kept walking around. I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I'm and obviously was answering the prayer from that very day in my quiet time. I was under the law. Leave. Do it now. I forgot to remember that God's always motivated by love when he tells me to do something. He's not trying to take something away from me ever. He's trying to give me something back. In this case, it was time. And so because I heard his voice as law, who do you think was yapping in my ear about that one? The old sinful nature. Well, I'm staying in this store. I like a bargain. And bargains, you know, it's a good thing to have to get a bargain. Well, that's true, but not if God tells you no. But he wasn't telling me no for any other reason other than he wasn't trying to take something away from me. He was trying to give me more time back. Can y'all relate to what I'm saying here? That was a life lesson. I mean, I have never forgotten that. That's huge. Isn't that big? And so just know God's character. And so what I want to tell you, the way you hear God's voice like this, when you're reading relationally, you talk to him. I mean, don't read it and try to pick it apart. You know, you're in here sitting with the holy God. John chapter 1, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the living word. It's the living word we're listening to here. He's alive. He's talking to us. I just want you to fix in your mind Romans 12:2. In the New Living Translation, it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Is he doing that with you today? Yes. He wants you to think the truth, not the lies. He wants you to think the truth. I just want to share some of these verses with you before we leave today. You know, we've talked about suffering, and 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says, dear friends, don't be surprised, although I always am, at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad because these trials are meant to make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Listen, when I turn away from that old sinful nature that I've been fraternizing with my flesh and I've been back partnering with that old sinful nature, the turning away, there's some pain there. 1 Peter 4:1 says, those who are willing to suffer for Christ have decided to stop sinning. How do I decide to stop sinning? I don't listen to any other voice but his. Are y'all with me? You have no obligation. You listen to that voice before you were a Christian. And there's the opportunity to listen to that voice as a Christian. And there is a suffering. Let's say you're on a diet and you love chocolate. But, you know, you just want to stay away from that chocolate for a season here. Well, you tell me that, like Paul says, I die daily. He dies to any other voice but God's. What does the old sinful nature want to do? You know, you've eaten a full meal. You've already had one dessert. Oh, go get another one. Well, there is a suffering, and it's a different kind of suffering. Nonetheless, when you dying is suffering. When you die to that voice, there's pain. So those who are willing to suffer for Christ, for his voice, what he says, have decided to stop sinning. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The sinful nature wants you to sin because sin separates you from God and people. Of course, you don't lose your salvation. If you're born again, you just breaks your fellowship with the Lord. But even if that happens through the power of the Spirit, you go talk to God just like you are and you tell him. 1 Peter 2:23 says, and I love this. What an example. Jesus never retaliated because he wasn't listening to his sinful nature. He was tempted, though, because the Bible says he was tempted in everything, but he never sinned. Jesus never retaliated, but he left all things in the hands of God who judges all men fairly. Oh, that my people would listen to me. Oh, that they would follow me walking in my paths. How quickly I would then subdue their enemies, and how soon my hands would be upon their foes. If you listen to your sinful nature wants you to go to battle in your mind with another person and then maybe to that person. That's what your sinful nature wants. God wants you to turn, let him heal your wounds, let him hear everything, and he's going to take care of that. It may not happen instantly, but he does a much better job than we do, doesn't he? You know, all you have to ask yourself in a given situation is what you're doing working for you? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Psalm 105:19 says, then until the time came to fulfill God's word, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Did God allow Joseph to go through what he went through? You know, Joseph knew that. Genesis 50, verse 20, he said to his brothers, but as for you, you intended evil against me. But God intended this for good. He knew he wasn't a victim, didn't he? To bring about this present result, the saving of many lives. Whoa, what a powerful verse. How about in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Gee, were they victims of King Nebuchadnezzar and God? Because God was allowing, were they victims? They most certainly were not. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, King, they called him a king, said his name. Hear what you're saying? Not doing it. Now, I don't know about you, but once again, I don't think when they were walking to that fiery furnace that they were going, oh, God, thank you. Oh, I'm so excited about going in there. I think they're saying, God, are you really sending me in there? Okay, I'm going because I'm not going to compromise my relationship with you. But honesty, truth in the innermost being. Like I said about Stephen when he was being stoned, I think he was having a long talk with God. But did you see Stephen's face because of who he was talking to? He turned his eyes on Jesus. He didn't try to go, you guys quit stoning me. I'm going to pick up a stone and throw it back at you. He did not take matters into his own hand. He didn't retaliate. He left all things in the hands of God who judges all men fairly. That's the message of the cross, ladies. That is your gift from your Savior. How about Daniel going to the lion's den? The same thing. I always like to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel and then Stephen. Because the first two, well, you know the rest of that story. They both got out of it. Stephen, he had the best end of the deal, didn't he? He got to go be with the Father. We are victors, lady. We're not victims. When we go and we empty out to the Lord, John 3:30 says, he must increase, I must decrease. Do you understand that's what happens? How do I decrease? I just go and I spill it all out. And when I do that, he follows right behind and he clears the temple. Because my house, his house, shall be called the house of prayer. Don't make it into a den of thieves. How do you make it into a den of thieves? You have conversations with the old sinful nature. You listen and you engage. But you don't have to anymore because it has no power over you unless you give it power. But know that you know that you know that God is not a cruel commander. He will not put you on the front line without taking you through boot camp first. And I'm not going to volunteer for pain and uncomfortableness and change because I like to be comfortable and you like to be comfortable. So he's loving, and he prepares us. I would say that most of those guys that go to their, do they still call it boot camp? To that kind of training? I would say most of them are not real excited about going through that. Would you agree with me? I mean, they may not tell us that, but I don't think they're excited about it. How about in Genesis 9 with Ham and Shem and Japheth? Remember, Ham goes in and he finds his father. Who was his father? You remember his father's name?
Noah.
He drank a little bit too much. He went in there, oh, look at him. He comes out. Now, would it be the Holy Spirit of God or the sinful nature wanting to tattletale on Dad? Ah, the sinful. Oh, Dad, come and look. He's drunk. But what did the brothers do? They walked in backwards and threw a covering over their father. That's how the Holy Spirit, do you see the difference there? There's tons of it. You're going to see this all over the scriptures, ladies, if you're reading through the Bible. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are to be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him, reflecting his glory even more. How are you a mirror that brightly reflects the glory of the Lord? I think it's exactly like Stephen. I'm sure Stephen was telling God he didn't like being stoned, but because of who he was talking to, his face was shining. See, you can't act out or muster up being a mirror that reflects the glory of the Lord. You can't be good enough to do that. It's just what happens when you go to be with him. You know, it's really, we've just so complicated this. Take all the energy and time that you put into baggage maintenance and conversing with the sinful nature and just shift all that to God. And the fruit will begin to flow like you've never seen. You will be sharing the gospel. I tell you what, hang on for the ride of your life. Hang on for the ride of your life, because the Holy Spirit, do you understand, is unleashed in you? Do you see what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is unleashed when you're constantly going and just getting rid of all that stuff that's on your mind. Well, I wanted to finish sharing the rest of the Kilty story with you. I think this is really an incredible thing. Kilty, remember I told you, came to me for calligraphy job, and she prayed to receive Christ. When I was speaking at a church in Tallahassee, I didn't know I was going to do this the next day on Sunday morning. The pastor asked me to come up and speak. And so I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? That's a great thing to remember. Lord, what do you want to say? Keep the me out of it. And so I was up there telling the story that I told you. Well, afterwards, the couple that I was staying with, he's a mailman. And he's writing me this note in his bulletin that he was in, Kilty now has moved to St. Petersburg. She lived in Tallahassee, Florida. Kilty is a very different name. He writes and he tells me her last name. Is this girl's last name? I said, yes. He said, I was her mailman and I've been praying for her for years. Wow. Does that make you cry? And so all I want to say is, make the most of every opportunity, ladies. You don't have to muster up evangelism. You don't have to muster up good works. It is what happens when you start walking in the Spirit like I'm talking to you today. I've read that verse for years. Walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. How do you do it? Do you know how to do it now? Do you know how to do it? I want to point out to you just a couple things. Let me see. How's our time here, Holly? 10 minutes, is that right? I don't have... Is that... Yes? No? 5 minutes? Okay, hurry. A lot of the scriptures that I've shared with you today are on this David sheet here. I just want to make sure you know what you have in your packet. There's a whole bunch, but it's just a great brainwash. When I was in Russia, one of the atheist girls, I was having a Bible study, and she goes, excuse me, but I just have to tell you, I feel like this is brainwashing as we're reading through the Bible. And I said, you know, you're exactly right, because we all need our brains washed with the truth because of all the lies we believe. That was a Holy Spirit comeback, because I never said that before. I passed this out to you with the title, Do You Hear What I Hear?, which is, we're not too far from the Christmas season. But isn't that an appropriate message for this message? It starts off, do you see what I see? In other words, do you see the result of fraternizing with your flesh instead of fellowshipping with the Father? Do you see the result of what happens when you listen to other voices besides God's? And the next one, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear that old sinful nature? Or do you hear God's voice? And then, do you know what I know? Do you know what we just talked about here? If you do, pass it on, ladies. Do it and pass it on. Because Luke 19:40 says, if they don't talk about this, the rocks will cry out. And then the last one, listen to what I say. Meaning, listen to what the Father says. He has been speaking to us today. Amen, ladies?
Amen.
I'd encourage you, the New Living Translation is wonderful in Romans. And it's easier, to me, it's easy to understand. So I just want to encourage you to, if you don't have a copy of that, they have paperbacks, they're inexpensive. The message that I gave you today is in this booklet, and you can get it online. And so let me give you where to go to get it if you're interested. Just, it's the Salt and Light webpage, and it's maybe write it on your yellow folder so you won't forget it. And then just write out Salt and Light Group, no S, .com. saltandlightgroup.com. And there's a tab at the far right, and it says Freedom Workshop. And if you're interested in downloading this, I mean, it won't be a nice little booklet. It'll just, you know, how they do it online. But, and then, I know that some of you all are in a Salt and Light group here, but I just have to tell you, ladies, that John 7:18 says, those who present their own ideas are looking for praise for themselves, but those who seek to honor the one who sent them are good and honorable, and there's nothing false about them. Listen, I don't want to tell people what I think. I want to tell people what God says. How about you guys? Colossians 3:16 and 17 says, use his words to teach and counsel each other. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Isaiah 9:6 says, he's the almighty counselor. I'm not the counselor, I just know the counselor. I'm not the teacher, I just know the teacher. And so my job is to get people to him. Are y'all with me? And you're not going to want to get people to him unless you're with him. So you minister out of the abundance of your relationship. And so my encouragement to you, if you're not in a Salt and Light group, would you get in one? It says, where do I begin? It helps you get started. Tells you exactly what to do here. I just know that you don't want to let this message go in one ear and out the other, do you, ladies? This is the foundation. This is the message of the cross. When you take communion, you will never take communion the same again. Do you understand? When you eat the bread and you're chewing it, sometimes you have those tablets and they crunch. Let that remind you that Jesus broke the power that sinful nature had over you. And when you drink the grape juice or the wine, he washed the past away. It's gone. That's your gift. That's your position. We have this treasure, 1 Corinthians 4:18, in our earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power might be of God and not of ourselves. I beg you, honestly, I'm begging you, ladies, please start a Salt and Light group or get in one. Because you'll be memorizing Scripture. And let's just settle this. Nobody can memorize Scripture. Even me. Except I wanted to. And God can work with a want to. And I don't know. There's hope. If I can do it, you guys can do it. Romans 5:5 says, hope does not disappoint. And, you know, anything you do in life, it takes some effort and some work. But then you're done. You're like, oh. It's so wonderful for me to stand up here and say, God, I've reviewed what's in my resource basket. Help yourself. Every time I share this message, it comes out different every time because you know what? I said, Lord, you know your audience. I don't know anything about everybody sitting here. Even if I knew every one of you personally, only he, Psalm 139 says, is intimately acquainted with all your ways. So I know Holly said, how many groups do you have now? You have two groups. And so I just want to really encourage you to please think about getting in one because I don't know. I could never apply what I'm talking about today if I didn't talk to people that are doing this. We're better together. I don't think God created us to be lone rangers. Do you think? I don't think so. And then the last thing I just gave you as a little gift. You know, when you start walking in the Spirit more, like we're talking about here, because it's less of you and more of Him, you're just going to want to talk about Him all the time. And so I just gave you a lot of verses on evangelism because, hey, don't y'all want to have people that don't know him yet walk in this freedom, much less the people that you do know that are believers that don't understand this message. And if God has spoken to you today, review it, go over it, meditate on it, read relationally when you read your Bible, and talk about it. Talk about him. The last thing I want to ask you all to do, if you would, on your index card, if you would like to receive a ministry newsletter, I'm on staff of the Navigators. I usually send stories, kind of let y'all know what's going on. If you'd like to receive a letter about a lot of the stuff I'm talking about, please print your name, address, and phone number, and just write newsletter in the corner so I know. And then the last thing I want to ask you to do is, would you please write down, how has God spoken to you today? How has God spoken to you today? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, and then I'm going to close this in prayer. Father, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts now as we're closing. And Father, would you just show each one of my precious sisters